City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.
Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Hello, this is Brian Reid, and between now and 8 o'clock, there's another chance to hear the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Here comes the
mirror man. This is Brian Reid. Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Brian Reid Show here on City Talk, where we run the rule over the year that just ended in a drunken haze a few nights ago. In the second hour, four members of the Liverpool Echo jury will join me to give their verdict on how the Reds and the Blues fared in 2008. But before that, as Liverpool's capital culture draws to a close, I've assembled three of the finest brains currently residing in this city. Or rather, residing most nights on the step to the bombed-out church fighting over a can of Ken and Super!
It's mine.
That's me.
We have got Kirby blogger and Hollyoaks scriptwriter Lynn Papadopoulos. We have got the Daily Post's... Oh, he'll still be there? Yeah, Daily Post's writer, Mike Chappell, veteran writer. And we've got, how can you describe him? Comedy writer, lecturer, journalist, general, all-round smart ass, Paddy Hoey. Welcome, folks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year.
It's your Mrs. birthday today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Give it a big
41
up.
Today.
41 today.
And I broadcast all over Merseyside on the 3rd of January.
You should have gone for 39.
Actually, I just really, we should have all got turned up in our pyjamas, couldn't we? Because there's been themes that have run through this show for a year. If I had to just to define the three themes, I would say Lynn Papadopoulos, Kerry Katona.
I should be wearing pyjamas and old boots, you know. That's my look generally, isn't it? Big rollers as well.
Boris Johnson haircut and Kerry Katona. Paddy Hoey has got to be pyjamas. You've got this obsession with Liverpool's dress sense, the Liverpool's women's pyjamas.
It's just brilliant. Nowhere else on the planet has the chutzpah and confidence. Just say, you know what? I'm going out to the shop and I'm going to wear my pyjamas. What are you going to do about it?
And of course, but you've got the men wearing the pyjamas now as well.
No, if you go proper Scouse, you've got to wait until this time of the year. Start of January, it's freezing, and you go out in your big long canvas shorts and a pair of flip-flops.
Big pair of shorts.
And Mike Chappell, of course, every show you were on the past year, you mentioned one person in particular.
It couldn't be wrong, though.
Can you remind, just remind me of that song again? What was it?
Liverpool, I loved you, but I never let you down.
Has Ed grown back yet?
No, I said I was going to bring it in for the new.
I've
left it in my garage. I've left it in my garage. It's rotten. Let's start. We started on the capital of culture. I think we should have a little assessment on the capital of culture. I mean, what's been amazing is the lack of own goals, surely. I mean, everyone expected Liverpool, total cock up, bound to be laughed. And even the opening ceremony, you know, with Ringo, David Liverpool, I left you. A few cynical, snooty remarks from the London media. But I think overall, tell me if I'm wrong, Lynn, has it worked?
I think it was a roaring success.
Paddy?
I think brilliant. The only failure has been I haven't seen the Culture Girl blog often enough. That Lynn was going to do.
Yeah, how many did you do? About two.
I did four.
I was really looking forward to it.
Mike, have you enjoyed the year? Cultural offerings.
I think it's been great. I think they finally got the arson gear and got things really cooking. Sometime around summertime, we had a major triple whammy with the tall ships, and of course the Matthew Street Festival, and then of course going into the autumn, I thought the biennial was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah,
everyone's like, oh yes, biennial. It's not. It's for ordinary people. And anyone who said, hey, it's not for me, you should have just gone and gone walkabout because it was absolutely superb.
Well, my mate Jane brought our young lad Elijah, and he's just an ordinary young lad from. And he from Crosby, great fella, loves doing art, but he went at Biennial, and you think that Biennial's wouldn't be anything there for him. Loved it, running about Jamaica Street at all, and he really loved it. And I think Capital of Culture proved that, Professor Phil said, if you think there's nothing there for Capital of Culture for you, it's your fault, it's not the fault of the year.
Yeah,
I think the Biennial Comedy Festival, there was something there for anybody, no matter what you want. You just had to get out there and seize it by the horn.
Okay, let's just work out what we think was the best single moment or event in the whole thing. So and don't mention your husband's film.
I'm going to blow smoke up her husband's fundament in a minute.
I'll leave that to other people. No, for me personally, it was the number one project. So going right back to January, because I never once thought in the build-up that I would be standing in the arena singing, dancing to Lily the Pink. And, you know, that was the highlight of my year.
That was the gig in the night after the Ringo was on the St George's Hall, yeah.
They had the opening ceremony, and a week later they had the number one project. Yeah. And it just got better. They were inventing these number ones as it went on. It was like, we've got another one, there's 58. Janice Long's going, Carol Decker's from Heighton.
The number ones
were growing.
That was a frightening night, though, wasn't it? Because
Patricia Routledge just released a new single.
And she was on with Pete Wiley in his gold lamé suit.
When did he go on strike, by the way?
Oh, his mind won't cross the cultural boundaries. He won't cross the cultural picket line.
Yeah, he took a while, though. He took a while to wait, you know, to go on strike. I think it was about October. He thought, right, it's not going, when he's going on strike.
He was brilliant at the number one, wasn't he? He really had a go.
He wasn't on strike then.
Did you see that bacon foil suit?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was incredible. But
your highlight, buddy. Get your smoke out.
I've had some. Just to blow smoke up the Papadopoulos fundament. And Bolton, who I was talking to the other day, I thought, you know, I know some. There have been... The odd detractor will say nothing about the Echoes arts editor, but Time in the City was a monumental achievement. I thought it was brilliant, and I think it should be on a fact on a loop. La Machine, that would be great. Dave Sinclair, pictures of the Dock Strike, 10 years of the Dock Strike, in fact. But I think ultimately, the big one that really, the whole steady at the Summer Pops, backing up Counting Crows, but I think my main one was the three fellas, O'Hanlon, Tommy Tiernan, and Dylan Moran at the arena.
So that's your winner?
10,000 people. It was just a sight to see an Irish people who were standing in front of vending machines full of beer. Going, what? There's a machine full of beer? But it was John Bishop comparted, and it was just incredible. It was the best night of my cultural year, and it was just...
That's because Tommy Tiernan came on the show and you sat in for me.
Irish people standing in front of vending machines, that was your highlight. That's what the capital culture is about, really.
That was art. That was performance art.
That was an installation.
Michael Stone.
Culture for us. I can get Miller from a machine.
La Machine.
It's Homer Simpson territory there. Mike Chappell, what was the highlights of your year?
Well, there's quite a few.
Well, give us them all.
Well, narrowed it down to a couple. Elvis Costello with the Philharmonic. That was brilliant. That was a brilliant night. Absolutely fantastic. And I think everyone who was there, we just felt it was really special to be there. And I mean, people have talked about the hottest tickets in town. That was the hottest ticket of the year, I think. And it was great. It was really good. Another one, which a lot of people forgot about, and it got slagged off by a certain person on the Echo, when in fact it was absolutely superb.
Here, isn't it? Yeah. One of my former guests.
Well, it deserved to, because it was a fantastic night out. It was Mark McGann playing Lennon, and it was the only real tribute to Lennon through the whole...
The original play that he was in about 30 years ago.
No. But McGann did play him.
He played him on the Everyman years ago.
This was like a musical tribute to Lennon, and it was absolutely brilliant, you know. Curtis Stigers was in it, and everyone was in tears at the end because it was so well done. Not in tears of sentiment, but really fantastically well done without any of the usual, you know, what people always slag us off for Scouse sentiment. It was just a brilliant celebration, you know. And the last one, and I think everyone who went to it, because I think everyone did go to it, was Eric's The Musical, which was absolutely brilliant.
That was great, yeah. I did enjoy that.
And everyone thought, as they thought with the Capital Culture, oh no, what are they going to do? It's going to be awful. And it turned out to be brilliant. And it could easily stand the test of time going around the country. Just as a sort of testament to youth, you know.
Well, I've got to go for La Princess. So brilliantly named. La, every Scouser in existence called La. Yeah. Every female of school age is called Princess. Yeah. So that was the... Anything that legs it through the whittle.
She's been wearing pyjamas, that spider.
Spider in pyjamas would have been a lot better. But mainly because there's that one, the best... paragraph I saw all year written, which was in the Daily Post, was somebody had said that on the Saturday, when it'd been crawling around for a day and there'd been the stories, this spider on the loose, that they'd got this psychologist on there to talk about, you know, the effects of this spider may have on people's minds. It's a really serious thing. And there's a line that people had filmed in work saying he was suffering from arachnophobia. To me, summed up the whole of Liverpool. It summed up the wit of the native. You know, I can't make it today. Why? What's up? I've got arachnophobia. Yeah. It's that spider. So I'm going to go for La Machine. You're going to go for Eric's, Mike?
Yeah, I had a post to go for Eric's, yeah.
You're going to the festival?
And Lynn?
Number one project.
This is when we get the outsider, the eyes of Redcar, Chris Burton. Chris Burton is going to come and decide. Chris, who do we have as winner?
Well, my team and I have provided a scientific audit, and we feel, having not seen of Time in the City, having not seen Elvis Costello at the Philharmonic with Curtis Stigers, that well-known Scouser, having not seen the Three Tenors, we say Eric's the Musical.
Whoa! Yeah, another former guest of the show. The writer. Okay, now listen, this is, you know, we're not local radio here. We go around the world, don't we, on podcasts. So let's just stretch it outside Liverpool, yeah. Okay? Let's go for, and I think a certain Scouser may figure in this, Mike. Man of the Year. Who is Man of... Mike, who, let me guess who your Man of the Year was.
Well, you're talking about Man of the Year as in, you know...
The man who, to you, defined this year. I mean, there could be for any reason. You know, don't say the best man on earth this year.
Yeah, but I was actually going to say... Not Man of the Year, but sort of like Couple of the Year, to be honest.
Oh, go on then. Have a Couple of the Year.
I was gonna sort of say, you know, Rhys Jones, Mum and Dad.
Oh yeah, I thought
they were absolutely fantastic, yeah. And they've actually come out, you know, in the last couple of weeks, to say what they felt about what happened throughout the trial, throughout the whole time, and I find it difficult actually to find a Man of the Woman of the Year. Separately, because I thought they were.
That's good.
And there was a brilliant quote that was done in the Mail of all papers, but but it was from you know, Melanie, his mum, which just says the book has to stop with the parents. We can't keep making excuses that people are born into poverty. Lots of people are poor, but they don't end up as criminals, which I think sums it up. And, you know, I read that and I thought, well, you know, they've saved that up all to the end and they've actually made a statement which makes a lot of sense, you know.
OK. And what... I thought you might have gone for Ringo, you see, but we'll hold it as the most annoying man of the year. Okay? Yeah. We'll have most annoying man and woman.
Well, that's not what you've called it on the plan, Brian. It wasn't the most annoying man, was it? Yeah.
This has got... Have you never had lips?
Christmas thinking about this.
You didn't mention From Mad Up to the Zoo songs, by the way. You could have blown smoke up your own from them, if that's possible.
I think Adolf and the Zoo songs may be dying a dignified death somewhere on Seal Street.
I was going to say, Brian, you've said the best, but we haven't come up with the worst.
Man of the year?
No, worst couple of culture event.
Okay.
Are we going back to that?
We'll kind of Man of the Year. We'll come back to that. Right? We'll finish off with that. We'll go around a little journey around the world and end up back in Liverpool.
Okay, then. Okay.
You know, the problem is we've made the mistake of preparing too much today. You haven't turned in still drunk from the night before.
Some of us have. Right, Paddy, Man of the Year.
Man of the Year, first of all, Mohammed Al-Fayed, just for the sheer level
the
of lunacy. Can I read out the quote? Is that
please,
all right?
Please.
He said... That's after, this is Jack the Avenue, and they're standing on the steps, and he's out and he's giving the BBC fella down the banks, and the poor fella's just like from BBC London or something. He's going, Mohammed, and he says, I'm not going to do the voice because, Brian, you're the one for the accents. It is time to send him back to Germany from where he comes from. You want to know his original name? It ends with Frankenstein. Who was he talking about?
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip.
There's one of the quotes of the year. Rough that
up. It's all going to cop.
Yeah, that's a good caller. Mohammed Al-Fayed.
I haven't got a Man of the Year. I thought
Mark Croft.
2008. Outside of Barack Obama, how can you? You know, you've got to outside of that. So, do you know what? I'm going for Russell Brand and.
Oh, that's good. That's controversial.
I'm going for those two.
Yeah, I'm going to go for
them physically.
In terms of column inches, you know, they gave us the most.
Who were?
So you're in the anti-satanic sluts camp.
Unless you can vote for, you know, 50,000 people who phoned up. To complain, that was just ridiculous.
Well,
that was going to be my funniest moment.
You can also put Andrew Saxon, most annoying man of the year, because he definitely dragged that out. He kept saying, the apology wasn't good enough. Get the agent on the line, look.
Yeah.
I want a part in Corrie.
I want a part in Corrie. He actually applied for a part in Corrie prior to that. You know, that was how desperate he was for publicity.
Yeah.
My man of the year, Mantadhar Al-Zaida.
Yeah.
Who was the journalist at the Baghdad press conference recently... Who pulled off his shoe, threw it at Bush and went, it is the farewell kiss, you dog.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I was saying, like, the last time we talked about this, like, you know, wouldn't it be great if he just kept throwing ever more surreal things?
Yeah.
So he pulled out, like, a fish and then threw a big piece of camembert and then maybe threw a jester's hat and he had to keep ducking them like it was Super Mario.
He's pretty good dodger, though. Did you see that? He's not just good at dodging questions, but he's good at dodging shoes.
Well, when we spoke about this a few weeks ago, I said to Paddy, I'm almost starting to think I'm going to miss Bush because... He is quite funny. I mean, he says, all I can tell... Everyone says, you okay, President? All I can tell you, all I can report is it was a size 10. You know,
I mean... It's quite good, yeah.
Paddy really told me off, said, no, you won't miss him. But miss him.
Yeah. This is the man this year.
I think you will.
The thing about Bush...
Lynn thinks
year,
you will.
The thing about Bush said this year, Bush said that he didn't believe in evolution because he thought the world was such a massive place that evolution couldn't possibly just be the reason for the world. Thus proving he knows nothing about anything, because that's the beauty of the theory of evolution. It explains everything. You don't need like a wee sticker saying we're creationists.
Chris Burton, I'd like to know who you think is... let's just go through again. I said Muntadar Al-Zaida. You said Russell...
Russell Brand and
John... Paddy said Al-Fayed. It's a very tough one. Mike said Reece Jones, Mum and Dad.
It is a tough one, isn't it? And I'm sure we've all been...
He loves this, doesn't he?
We've all been 100% behind Mr. and Mrs. Jones. However, for sheer entertainment value and the fact that he cheered us all up in the tail end of what was a pretty dodgy year, it's got to be Mr. Al-Jazeera, hasn't it, for the shoe?
Yeah, very good.
For the shoe.
Yeah. I think you know for Russell Brand because you look a bit like him.
Shoe
throw. Oh, nice.
That was a compliment. OK, Woman of the Year. Now this is where you come into your own, Lynn, because I don't know if anyone else knows it. She's a woman.
Yeah, no one knows this. No, listen. Right, I've got two women.
You've got two women.
I'm allowed to have
two. Yeah, but you've got to pick one in the end.
Because I couldn't decide.
You like Cheryl Cole, don't you?
I told you not
to. She said to me, if anyone says Cheryl Cole.
The C word is banned. Yeah. I'm telling you, in any category I'm
she's
walking.
She's a double C
wait,
word.
What's wrong, Cheryl?
Don't even get me started. People's princess, all that.
Angel of the North.
Sometimes you don't have to be any more rational and just...
Don't mention the C word. So I've got Kerry. I've got Kerry. And I've got Sarah Palin. And again, it's purely on column inches. It's going to cheer us up.
Well, this is about entertainment.
Column inches, of course, which is the famous Irish journalist.
But Lynn just likes to, you know, she likes to see people winding other people up. Is that what am I getting there? Why you like Kerry and Sarah?
It's like, you know, the opposite, isn't she, to Cheryl Cole? Cheryl Cole, you know, her husband cheated on her and she suddenly became perfect, became the people's princess. She's brilliant. She can do no wrong. And yet, you know, Kerry does wrong. And we still love her at the end of it. She's still got that Iceland contract, I hope. I'm keeping fingers crossed, Kerry.
Who are you going for?
I'm going for Kerry.
Kerry Katona gets a vote for Woman of the Year.
That's a good job too, because I'm going for Sarah Palin. Wouldn't it be great to see Kerry Katona throwing the contents of an Iceland bag at George Bush, watching him dancing those cheese
Kievs
films.
Yeah.
Why Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin.
Probably the fact that I know you fancy her.
Yeah, it's not tactical.
You fancy her. You fancy her.
I did. She's gone now. She's yesterday.
She's dead to you. Oh. It's Tina Fey now.
I'm Joe Biden.
But the thing about it was is that she could have been the ultimate embodiment of the American dream. She's just... You could put two short planks together and still not make her. Yeah. She's got a redneck husband. She didn't want to give the $150,000 worth of clothes back that she'd been given. She's got a mother-in-law, who, if we believe it, a couple of weeks ago, has just been done for dealing prescription drugs.
She could... panels with Kerry.
Sir, come on. Have we got a lawyer on a Saturday morning these days?
I meant troublesome, you know, having trouble.
So I think with Sarah Palin, it was almost like a Hollywood movie. It was like, you know, like Brewster's movie.
You want to have a hockey mom.
She's just brilliant.
I think we'll see the Hollywood movie before the year's out on Sarah Palin.
So we've got Kerry Katona.
She's gone, but she's not
gone. Only one radio station in the country is doing this. Kerry Katona, Sarah Palin, mate, Karen Matthews.
Well, I've saved that for something else. But
he's very obtuse this morning, isn't he?
No, I was going to say that. I haven't got a woman.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, Mike hasn't got a woman of the year. You got engaged this year. Why don't you be romantic and say your fiancé?
No.
I'm going to...
That's too embarrassing, mate. I'm dead serious. It's sort of like this. Women have been portrayed too much in the year, but just fluffiness. It just drives me round the twist. Mm-hmm. You know, Sarah Palin, you know, legitimate woman, and all the media do is just make her look as some sort of, ooh, look at her glasses, ooh, look at this, look at that.
Well, she did a good job of that herself.
Well, probably she did, but the thing is, I get really tired of the amount of women who are just, propelled into this fluffy kingdom of Heat magazine and everything else. And I just think, come on, give me a legitimate woman to sort of say...
Harriet Harman.
He's not one of them, is he?
Not the famous and Kerry.
Rebecca Adlington. There you go. She was brilliant.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, it's sort of like, I feel annoyed for women that they've got these bloody magazines that are just full of Just Lynn. Fluffy women all the
Victoria
time.
Victoria Pendleton.
I don't know what I'd do without those magazines.
You see, it's there, folks.
So, you know, that's
well,
my...
You can pass it to me.
That's my process of the year.
I'm going to go for Heather Mills. Simply because of that quote that I shared with Paddy a couple of weeks back. Did you hear this one about the parents meeting at the Beatrice's school?
Yeah.
Right, she goes to... This story was told by someone who knew a teacher at the school where Beatrice McCartney goes to, OK?
Yeah.
And just really thought you'd forgotten about Heather, how she did brighten up your life. This came back and made me laugh out loud for about 2 minutes, OK? So she turns up at the parents' meeting. They're speaking to her and they're going, yeah, she's a really bright kid. She's doing really, really well. Oh, and the teacher goes, oh, I know something she's really good at. She's very good at playing the recorder. She goes, yeah, she gets that from me. So for that quote alone and that story, yes. I'm going to go for Heather Mills. Chris, I don't think you've got a tough task here at all.
Heather Mills.
Heather Mills!
Heather Mills!
Oh, shock!
Ooh.
Right, there you go. Well, let's go for most annoying man of the year. Mike. Ringo, please!
I'm saving Ringo for something else.
I've just thrown it. Have I thrown a little bit of...
See, can I just let you... You're sitting here this morning...
You can have it with hypocrisy.
Whenever I used to work with this man on the Liverpool Echo,
yeah.
he was Mr. Rent and Opinion. He's coming here today as Mr. Fluffy Bunny SWP member. You couldn't get him...
So you haven't got an annoying man of the year?
That's what I was just going to say.
All right, sorry.
Sorry.
Flipping heck.
I was talking to Lynn.
Chance with you.
Lynn's trying to wake up with this category. I've thrown her.
Yeah. I'm not Sammy the Seal Man, you know.
Mike, just give us a few people who annoyed you.
Okay, yeah, all right. Alistair Darling.
What annoyed you about him?
Well, he's just...
From his eyebrows.
Yeah. No, well, I've actually sort of, as you may have read in the review of the year in the Daily Post pub column from a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, oh, I read that. It was really good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, he was put down as the Heim... Well, I did my pub column of the year awards.
Yeah.
And I put him down as the Heinrich Himmler lookalike face that deserves a good slap award, which went to, obviously, Alistair Darling, for continually ignoring the pleas from our pub landlords for a lifeline. Instead, he and his abstemious chum, Mr. Brown, have knee-jerked into action, using the binge-drinking hysteria to make pubs pay the penalty, allowing remorseless rent rate rises and imposing further taxation. So, as a nation of Mr. and Mrs. Tracky Bottoms, fueled by a liquid diet of ultra-cheap, super-strong, supermarket-sold, brain-destroying dementia juice, dance the hokey cokehead. Vital parts of our community life are being boarded up and left to rot. It's a crying time.
You're listening to City Talk, where Mike Chappell is reading out live his pub column.
Is there any chance of getting this next time Mike speaks to have the gland of hope and glory behind them?
Yeah. That's exactly why Darling wants to ban alcohol, because it does that to your brain.
You didn't have an annoying man of the year, suddenly you're quoting.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that from memory?
Right, Alistair Darling, we've got Paddy Hoey. Who have you got?
I have tons. Boris Johnson for saying to the Chinese, ping pong's coming home.
Yeah.
The man's just a moron. But it's great that London's got that mayor. You know? Nick Clegg and Piers Morgan, both okay. But ultimately, my most annoying man of the year was Mr. Madoff, who absolutely was a £32.2 billion. The fact he was called Madoff, I mean, it's just 3 million people have made that pun already. But then the fact is that...
Including yourself, Barry.
Yeah, people, I know. 3 million
of them.
It's kind of lunacy if you keep... I should go to a 12-step meeting, shouldn't I? Rent myself some space in the basement.
How many times did you ring the BBC to complain about Russell Brand?
Lynn.
Well, I'm going to shift categories now.
Shift.
Big disappointment. I'm going to go for Ringo.
Oh, we've got it mentioned.
Most annoying.
What annoys you about Ringo? I don't know. I haven't missed this story.
Apart from everything. everything. From the minute he stepped on the roof.
To sing what, Mike?
St. George's All to Sing. To the moment when he, you know, said, Pete, go on, Paddy, you can do it that bit.
It was a peace and love. I won't sign anything, though. Whatever.
Yeah. Everything in the middle
I'm
of it.
I'm warning you with peace and love.
Yeah, it's warning you with peace and love.
Yeah. So Ringo Starr?
Ringo Starr.
I'm going to go for Robert Peston.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Because
that's
if he's now strolling around the studios, hit me with the latest bit of financial crisis. If you know so much, mate, why didn't you tell us it was coming?
Yeah.
If you can explain everything away brilliantly, why didn't you have a word with someone and say, you know what, in a few months' time, you see that fam, he's going to be hit with something.
Can I just talk about the elephant in the room here, guys, on the Today programme? Yeah. He didn't do that, did he?
No, no. All of a sudden, yeah, I knew all about this. What? Yeah, we're going to have to give the banks £500 billion.
He's diversified my bonds.
And he's smug with it.
He is really smug. Yeah.
Anyway, Chris Burton, I think you got a bit of a tough choice there.
It is a tough one, but I think it has to be for 2008 for the conversational rabbit's foot that was Ringo. It has to be.
Ringo, you got one. You listen to Brian Reid here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
The best of Brian Reid. City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9. Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. This is Brian Reid bringing you the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
The best of Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
I am joined by Mike Chappell, Paddy Hoey and Lynn Papadopoulos, and we're looking back over 2008, picking out our best and worst people, moments, etc. It's our review of the year. Should we go for the funniest story? We've all got one. Could be anything. Could be peculiar, funny, ha-ha. Anything. Lynn?
I didn't have anything in particular, but basically it was anything that Heather Mills did or said was funny this year, I thought.
Yeah, OK.
So in general, you know, whenever Heather opened her mouth, basically.
Oh, look, Gordon Ramsay, how funny was that?
Very funny. But very funny.
Oh, you see, it's all about the Catholic priest in Brazil who decided he was going to... He wanted to publicise he's having like a truck stop, so he tied 41 helium balloons to his chair. And he had GPS with him, but he couldn't use the GPS, so he ended up somewhere in the Atlantic, and he couldn't find him. But even that's not as funny as Shammy Chakrabarty standing up for John. Gaunt.
Everybody, Chakrabarty.
Yep. That was just brilliant. Like right wing shock jock being stood up for by the person he called the most dangerous woman in Britain. Yeah. I could be the most dangerous woman in Britain anyway, you know. But I just thought it was hilarious. You just see him sitting there going, No, don't defend me! Don't defend me, you dangerous lunatic!
Liberty!
Yeah.
Who wants that? Mike, what tickled you?
There's a couple of things. One's personal experience. Last couple of days, I've been on a new quiz show that's called Battle of the Brains, which should be out soon. And it says, some of the finest minds in Great Britain asked questions by one of the top people in Britain on various subjects and everything. And of course, I'm part of the team of Battle of the Brains, one of the finest minds.
Yeah.
And of course, one of our team was in the BBC green room and had to ask one of the secretaries how to work the coffee machine. So that was. I thought that was
like Paddy's 3-10 story with all Irish.
and the other one. So one we've mentioned before was after the Brand.
Manuel Gates
was that the Mail just wouldn't let it lie, and of course a couple of weeks later that John Barrowman, who's the guy who plays Captain Jack in Torchwood,
he got his fruit and nut out.
But it was the outrage. Man exposes himself live on radio. Well, hold on a second. What's that all about? And apparently, as Brian quite rightly pointed out, there was one complaint.
I think when Sarah Ferguson went up to Hull, remember that family?
She was
to try and make them eat healthy, and nobody had a clue who she was. Colleen, on her... I might make this the funniest story. When Colleen got married... She rose on their wedding. You put down your wedding bands, what you are. Occupation journalist.
That's right. Yeah.
For writing once a month, my life's chocker. I've been shopping. Yeah. See you tonight. I think the funny story is this. When Princess Eugenie got her A-level results, she got 2 A's. And stories were written, this made her officially the cleverest royal ever. Which was a bit like a poll turning around to George Bush Senior and saying, you know what? You are the cleverest ever president of America called George Bush. I'm going to go with Princess Eugenie. Chris Burton, what do you reckon was the funniest story of the year?
Can we recap them again?
Yeah. Sorry. Anything about Heather Mills, Princess Eugenie getting 2 A-levels and called the cleverest royal ever.
That's yours.
What was yours, Paddy? Some memorable.
Gordon Ramsay. No, Shami Chakrabarty. Yep. Chakrabarty.
And Mike's was about him in the green room who made the coffee.
His friend who couldn't.
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
It's a tough one, isn't it? No. I think it's got to be Heather Mills again, isn't it?
Oh, it's a Heather Mills fest.
See, I think so. Two now.
Sorry, there was another great story involving a minor royal. She said she was a tremendous soccer fan. She loved the footy and she wanted to go to Chelsea. And so the car turned up for her to go to Chelsea. And she got into the car and she said, "Where do you want to go to?" And she said, "Stamford Bridge." So she fell asleep in the back and then she woke up 3 hours later in Yorkshire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sat nav had taken to the wrong place.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Name of the year, Paddy. We did that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
She looked at me saying, "You didn't tell me this category." No, I've just made.
No, he's just made this.
I've just made this up because this is the name of this year or any other year. Paddy, I'll leave it to you. You can tell him.
Well, it's Anorak Dips Hit. That's not how it's spelt. Anorak Dips Hit. What was yours?
Oh yeah.
Randy Bumgardner.
Randy Bumgardner.
Randy Bumgardner.
Oh yes, you did this.
Randy Bumgardner is the name of the year. Mike, do you want to throw in a category here? You mentioned something to me today about the worst ever single. Is it worth doing that? Vince looking at me again.
One of the worst ever.
Did you all meet up or something?
One of the worst things that happened this year was the worst single of the year has to be Womanizer.
Womanizer.
I mean, it's like listening to a mosquito or a 5-year-old kid just going, Womanizer. I'm waiting for you to get a big flipping rolling pin and batter it.
It's cleverer than that. She goes, Womanizer. She's just a little drop.
See, you're telling me Ringo's single was better than Womanizer?
It's got to be Ringo's single.
The only thing is that, and you'll remember this, there's people here and they're just giving up flags. The start of the new year and they're sitting looking, here's my channel going, Womanizer. I used to have to prop that for 8 hours a day, every day on the Echo subs table.
Yeah.
It's not rock and roll. I don't think you go, Womanizer. Yeah.
Paddy, can you think of a worst single of the year?
This year, the European Music Awards, which I may return to, proved to me that I've completely lost touch with young people's music. I couldn't tell you what's been a single this year or not.
We just give it to Ringo then. Sorry, Mike. Yeah,
don't lead on that one, Chris.
I agree.
Lynn, could you? You're a bit narc as I've thrown these new categories in. Give us a category that you...
I've got my own. Yawn of the Year, which is the event that bored me silly this year.
It could be any event. It could be the capital culture, anything. Yeah, go on.
It's just the Olympics. I'm sorry.
The whole fabulous 19 goals.
See, no, I'm after the Olympics.
Go GB, TGB.
No, God, it was just he turned on the telly swimming, hours and hours and hours.
Yeah,
and
but
hours
they were winning.
Hours. I know, but maybe I'm miserable, you know.
I say I love cycling.
That's a good, it's a good catchy though. Yawn of the year, yawn of the year. We've got the Olympics, Paddy.
Oh, yawn of the year, King Lear.
I was just thinking that.
At the Everyman.
Even though I didn't go. And you didn't go, did you?
Did you
go?
No, I did, yeah. I thought one of our finest actors was shown not to be a very good theatre actor. I thought it was poor.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Am I dragging things up too far there? Talking about King Lear. I thought the foolish, his register really wasn't.
I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna do something which I thought was shockingly yawnful this year. It was the Beckett play, and I'll stick with that. The Beckett play on the... His name was so boring, I've forgotten.
You went to see a play?
I went to see Beckett with Matthew Kelly on the Everyman.
Oh, it was Endgame, wasn't it?
Endgame. Yeah. And I tell you what, I was holding a pain for an hour and a half. It was the most painful hour and a half of my life. Mike?
Yeah, well, the yawn of the earth, this is what I was saying in Rongo for.
Oh, we've got him! No, can we have Land Above and Glory, please?
No, seriously.
Well, Mike, I thought you'd left him.
Yeah. Well, I haven't.
But he hadn't gone away.
I haven't let you down. Anyway, and it was the very first press conference, and the only press conference he did, which was before he went up on the roof at St. George's Hall. And all the journalists who were there were all herded into the boat room or wherever it is in St. George's Hall, literally entrapped there. I'm not joking. They locked the door waiting for him to come in and played Liverpool, I left you. Literally on a tape loop for an hour and a half.
That's what the show feels like, Mike. That's what
they're doing in Guantanamo Bay.
Total torture, but it was just...
You should have got Shami Chakrabarty.
You know, and of course then for the next 3 months, and it's still not gone, it's still there.
Chris, tough categories there. What have we got? We've got Beckett, we've got Lear,
King Lear,
we've got the Olympics, and we've got Rongo's press conference.
It's got to be a tie between King Lear and Ringo, I think.
Oh. What'd you get if you mix King Lear and Ringo?
King Rongo.
Okay, I want to do ugliest sight.
I've got a great one for this.
Oh, well then, he's been saving it up. Like, he's been saved his Rongo.
It's obviously the ugliest sight because it's stuck with me throughout the year.
What is the ugliest sight of the year?
The ugliest sight is Charles Saatchi after the diet.
Oh, his 9-egg-a-day diet.
Oh, man alive.
Is he on the back of...
Never does a man look so, you know...
Fit.
He was just like... Bleh. Just kind of all the skin fell off. And this was even
before...
I'm glad
we got Quincy with us today. She's got all the medical terminology, hasn't she? He was just... Bleh.
It was even before she had that book. When he, you know, the 9-egg diet thing. It was about 3 months before that all came out. So he'd been on that diet for about 3 months and he just looked like all his skin was hanging off him. And it was scary. I wake up, I still have nightmares.
That's a good ugly side. Paddy?
I thought it's a sort of thing that me and Mike Chappell used to regularly talk about in work in the Echo, which was the, did you see the tree man of Indonesia? Have you seen this fella? If you're sitting there Friday morning, like, go open your computer and go and Google the tree man of Indonesia. This bloke cut his finger in about 3 or 4 years ago, and since then he got some sort of infection. Since then he's got this horrible like bark like infection which has grown out of his hands like he's a superhero.
Rough.
Just go to Google. It's amazing. Yeah. It's the ugliest thing you'll ever see.
There's some good ones here, Mike.
Well, I think the one you've guessed already.
Not Ringo.
No, Karen Matthews has got to be.
Oh, yeah.
She's just
Karen Matthews sweatshirt. That sounds like an indie band from the 80s.
John McCain's arms.
John McCain's arms, yeah. It's like Godzilla. Yeah.
Madonna's arms. Yeah. She comes out the gym.
Madonna's hands are worse than Madonna's arms.
Donald Trump's head when he had to go to the Aberdeenshire coast to look. The Aberdeenshire coast is one of the windiest parts of the earth. And he stood there. He was blowing in so many directions.
John Sargent's Paso Doble on Strictly Come Dancing when he did that walking uphill thing.
Amy Winehouse, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. Amy Winehouse's teeth, yeah.
But the worst one, I know I'm not going to win for this, but I've got to say it, was Lenny Henry in those Premier Inn adverts. And now suddenly it's small. The bill. Chris, can we have a winner? We've got some crackers here.
Here's something small. It's the shrift my wife gave me when she caught me acting away from home.
Karen Matthews. I've forgotten so quickly.
I've got Charles Saatchi.
Charles Saatchi after the eggs.
The tree man of Indonesia.
Or Lenny Henry in the Premier Inn.
This is probably the hardest one yet.
Well, it gets harder on the show, that's it.
And we had Madonna as well.
Madonna's arms, but I didn't nominate. Yeah, yeah.
Karen Matthews sweatshirt.
Amy Winehouse.
I think it's got to be Karen Matthews just because she's ugly on the inside.
that's why he's a producer. Well, he can think out the box.
I say a lot. He's not only a producer, he's an old hippie as well. He's metaphysical.
Didn't know he was internal organ.
One more category, and then we'll go into the quiz, the quotes of the year. So, anyone want to throw a category up there?
I want to present the Spitting Image Award.
That's the category.
For
go on.
Impersonations to your good self. I actually thought Paddy was a figment of your imagination. I thought that's top class, you know, accent. It's just you on a Saturday, like thinking, oh.
He is the man of a thousand voices. He is Leclerc. Tis I, Brian Reid.
Shock of the year. You know, Mike did something there to remind me.
Shock of the year.
Shock of the year was when he went, ugh. And you know why? Well, that was John Prescott having bulimia. Now, if that is the biggest shock. Yeah. And everyone looked at him and went, well, why didn't you throw up?
Well, I'll tell you the biggest shock of the year. And it is one of cataclysmic.
Is you getting on that brains quiz?
Yeah, that's one of them. The other one is John Arnorisa.
Oh, yeah.
Own goal against Chelsea. That, I have to say that the Chapel household, there wasn't a bigger explosion since Krakatoa when that happened. It was just beer cans, everything just went out the window.
It wasn't a shock because he's so poor. Paddy, shock of the year.
That America, for the first time in its 250-year, whatever it is, life, has decided that it was going to vote for a black man. And the biggest shock of that night was actually getting Pete Wiley up on Facebook sent messages at 1:15 in the morning.
Was he? He was crossing the cultural picket line.
He was crossing the cultural picket line. I posted something saying, "That's really, isn't it brilliant? Looks like Obama's going to win. I don't like that Hank Williams Jr." Bing! Can't get Wiley doing anything. Two minutes, 60 minutes past two. That's not the real Hank Williams. I think you found.
That's when he comes alive. It's like 2:00 in the morning.
I think I've just been shocked that you talk into the early hours on Facebook with Pete Wiley.
I've only done it once, Brian. And don't knock yourself out.
I don't have the tree man of Indonesia. Because you won't get to sleep, will you? But why? Lynn, biggest shock of the year. You said you got a good one for this.
Did I?
Oh, that was ugliest sight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. The biggest shock was that the nation, you know, tuck John Sargent to their heart, a pug-faced John Sargent. When you've got, you know, Cheryl.
Don't you mean former Echo journalist?
The people's princess. Yeah, we voted for the ugly one, didn't we?
So John Sargent doing well?
John Sargent doing well.
John Honorisa.
Firm British.
Barack Obama. Chris, final category now. Shock of the year. Prescott being bulimic, John Honorisa scoring an own goal, Barack Obama winning.
Chelsea and
oh, John Prescott, John Sargent doing Sargent. Really well.
It's got to be Barack Obama, hasn't it? From a shoo-y to a black man as president, it's got to be Obama.
Because nobody expected that America was finally going to do right by us, didn't
they? The thing is, mate, the next biggest shock is how long it's going to take before someone has a pop at him, you know, in terms of... The right-wing militia groups in Montana and everything.
That's a feel-good Saturday morning comment there from my travel.
I still don't reckon. If we'd have said in January the 1st, what's a bigger shock, you find out that Barack Obama becomes American president or John Prescott is bulimic. I still think you would have gone with the Prescott bulimic. Yeah. You listen to Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
The best of Brian Reid. City Talk 105.9. The voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9. This is the best of Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. This is Brian Reid bringing you the best of my Saturday morning show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
The best of Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
I've got Lynn Papadopoulos, I've got Paddy Hoey, I've got Mike Chappell, and now I'm joined by Chris Burton for the famous insult quiz of the year, okay? Fortunately, we can't all reach the bell. It's so many. It's the most packed ever. So I just need to go ring in your hair. Can I have a good ring each?
Ring, ring.
Right, okay. Who said this? I want you to ring, okay? And I'll go to you. But okay, don't shout out. I can see Russia from my home.
Ring.
Who?
Sarah Palin.
No, you see, that was a trick. She didn't actually say it. Who said, I can see, yes.
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. And you know, I knew good. She was the comedian who said she was impersonating Palin and said...
Which I think, I can the new series Russia of... From,
she's not that thick.
The new series of 30 Rock will be starting sometime this week on Channel 5.
OK. Who said... Whose answer to a question was no more than 30?
Nick Clegg.
Nick Clegg is right. Craig Avon, take a 2-point lead.
That was your mate that interview, wasn't it?
Very short questions.
I like them short.
I normally go on for hours.
I know, yeah. Are you saying my insult quiz drags on a bit? Okay. Who said, it's a woman, Lynn, my body is a timeshare?
Heather Mills. Oh, sorry.
Get out of your ring. Oh, just shout out the names. I'll tell you, you got it right. Let's just keep shouting out.
Do accents,
my she's Swedish. Her body is a timeshare.
Go on.
You go.
I've forgotten her name. Ulrika.
Ulrika George Johnson, yeah. Kirby, one. Craig Avon, two. Who said, we not only save the world...
That was supposed to be Scottish accent.
I was supposed to say, it's Sean Connery.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Sean Connery. Who said, we not only save the world?
There's been a terrible accident.
Who said we not... Come Mike's on, looking chap, at me. Mike, you're on the brain of Britain next week. Who said we not only save the world?
Ring.
Yeah.
Gordon Brown.
He's taking it. He'll take anything.
He'll take the pennies off a dead man's eyes.
Who said... Oh, no. Sarah Palin said this, but what is the answer to her rhetorical question? What's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull?
I don't know why I'm doing a trimful from the 1970s. Everyone had one of those, didn't we? Like blue.
What's the difference
lipstick.
Between a... Lipstick is right. Oh, Craig Evans on foaming. Tell you he wasn't on the air last night, can't you? Peter O'Toole said this about whom? He's not too keen on very much. He should kick off his socks and settle down with a nice brandy and a porn film. Somebody wouldn't normally say it about.
Sir Ian McKellen.
No. He lives in Rome.
Ring.
Ring.
Yeah.
Pope.
Who?
Pope.
Pope who?
John.
No, who's the current Pope, Brain of Britain?
I don't know.
Pope Benedict.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Mike because he said Pope.
But
it was Pope Benedict.
I won a load of money whenever Benedict was near
the Pope.
Right.
I had 20 quid on at 16-1.
No, my favourite story about that was it genuinely happened that Rangers took Egg Benedict off the menu.
That's right.
In the executive box, that Egg Benedict. None of them had any.
It's fiend.
Right, yeah.
I had
yeah.
20 quid on 16-1.
Yeah.
I got a tip off the former parish priest who's living out in Rome now at the Irish College.
This looks like Father Ted, this, doesn't it?
They say the Catholic Church isn't corrupt.
Michael Parkinson said, you can rely on Yorkshire people to what?
Complain.
Sort of. What did he say about themselves?
Ring.
Be honest.
Be quite frank. Frank. Yes. Yeah. What's another way for that? Talking.
Straight.
Straight. I'll give that to you, Len. Yep. Yep. Craig Evan 2, Kirby 3, Walton and Redcar on 1. Okay. Who said this? I am no longer at risk of being called a bloody nuisance. I am a bloody nuisance.
Here's the impression.
It was Prince Charles.
Prince Charles, yes. I am a bloody nuisance.
See, a couple of weeks ago, and they're running to Christmas. They were showing all those great Christmas moments, weren't they? And it's like having Mike Yarwood in the room, isn't it? It's like he's been reincarnated.
You know what I'm going to do at the end? I'm going to go, and now it's me. I'm going to sing awfully my way. All right, okay. Who said this? I am not a monster. I could have killed them all and no one would have known.
It's got to be Fritzl.
It is Fritzl.
Without you mentioning Joseph Fritzl.
Kirby 3, Craig Evan 4, Walton 1, Redcar 1. Redcar, you slipping this week, mate? Yeah. This year?
Mike's fallen asleep, I think.
God is pretty useless at times like this.
Oh, Ring.
Yep.
Archbishop Rowan Duda.
Atkinson is right. He said at 9/11. Yeah, someone said, when the planes were hitting, someone said, oh my God, what should we do? What should we do? What will God be doing now? He said, well, God's pretty useless at times like this. It's great, isn't it? It's great. He's pretty useless at times like this.
Where are these quotes going?
This is the year. You know, that's what we're talking about, the year. The year that's just gone. Yeah. The year that you saw out the other night in a drunken haze.
Heaven knows she's miserable now.
Yeah. Who said this? I can't say it because actually you just mentioned it before. I was going to say, I happen to believe that evolution does not fully explain the mystery of life. George Bush. I got a death threat the other day. This fella's been on the show. I got a death threat the other day and was so chuffed that somebody thought I was still dangerous.
Tony Benn.
It is Tony Benn. Yes. Red card making a late leap from the back.
I thought it was Joe Riley. convinced.
It could have been Pete Wiley, but he hasn't come on.
It could have been Joe Riley, but we can't. We don't know whether your husband and Roy Bolter's whereabouts were whenever it was made.
It is, I fear, impossible to imitate, as it is a product of random and competing forces of nature. Boris Johnson talking about what?
Ring. Ring.
You should know this.
His hair.
Yeah. That's a terrible slight on La Papadopoulos.
No, because she looks like him. Mick, every time... No, she don't look like him, Lynn. Your hair looks like... Like you said it yourself. Mick on the dog.
You just told
Johnson
a Kirby woman that her hair looks like... You're a long time out of heighten because you know you'd have got battered stupid when you're a wee fella saying that.
She gets battered for walking on Kirby with her hair like that. Right, who said this? It's a woman. I'm a patronising man.
Yes, you are patronising, yeah.
Although we weren't able to shatter the glass ceiling... Thanks to you, it's got 18 million cracks in it. It's a woman who did quite well, but not well enough.
Bing. Yes. Sarah Palin.
No, but you're on the right lines. Country. Occupation.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry, I've got to give it to Redcar. You said it first, you were too faffing around. It's five to Redcar.
He's turned into Robert Robinson.
It's four.
It's like Quiz the Family.
Wait till it turns into Robert Peston. Or even Ed Stoughton. I'm off. come on, Mike. Give us a laugh and get one. Mike, who said, Liverpool, I left you.
You did, mate.
Mike, you got it, yeah. Right, OK. Must be some more here. Yeah, I think we've got time. I think we... Yeah, OK. Who said this? On the credit crunch, right? If these things... See, it's Peston-esque. If these things were so large, how come everyone missed them? A woman in this country said that. A woman who never, ever, hardly ever, because she did then, gets involved in commenting on contentious issues.
The Queen.
The Queen said it. OK, we've got a minute to go in the first show of the year. They leave me alone now. They are frightened. I'll drop dead. Michael Caine said that about what group of people?
Ring.
Groupies.
Paparazzi.
Paparazzi. Redcar is now walking it. Redcar 7, Craig Evan 4, Kirby 3, Mike 2, because I've given him Ringo.
Sure, 4 before.
I need a recount.
Okay, give you 4. 4, 4, 7. He's still winning.
He's still going to take the ball to the corner flag, isn't he? Always does it. He's a game player. He's a player.
I think I've run out.
You've seen the question.
Oh, no, I've got one more left. Okay.
Is this double or quits? Winner takes all?
Yeah, sod it. It's nil-nil. Mike, you've got a chance of winning.
It's the first of the year.
I know what they say, you can only make one first impression, but I'm sure if you get this right, we'll help you with the brain of Britain.
I've already won it, mate.
Yeah. Right. Wogan was talking about what? You better get ready to just shout it out, okay? Just please don't ask me to take it seriously.
Ring.
Yeah.
Eurovision Song Contest.
That's fair enough. Red card one, red card
walk. Tour de France.
Yeah. Thanks for going in, folks.
The best of Brian Reid on City Talk 105.9.
You've been listening to the best of Brian Reid. I'll be back next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for Tricia Goddard here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.